For loving us, thank you for this time together this morning. I pray that you would bless the hearts of every person that's here. Lord, be with those that are sick and couldn't come. Be with those that are traveling. Help us, Lord, to get something out of your word this morning, that we might be a better servant for you, that we might glorify the Lord Jesus and all that's said and done. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I hope you brought your Sunday school quarterly with you this morning. Okay. Some of you old timers know what I mean when I say that. That's what the Southern Baptists use, Brother Encinas, is a Sunday school quarterly. Yeah. It used to be that this book was the what we taught out of, but not anymore. So it's a problem. I go to some churches, and I've got some Southern Baptist churches that support us, but they're indigenous Southern Baptist churches, which means the convention doesn't tell them what to do and what not to do. They run their own show, which is a good thing. But I looked at a couple of these quarterlies from the Tabernacle Baptist Church down in South Carolina, and it just surprises me. They use everything you can imagine. One month it'll be the NIV, and the next month it'll be the Holman Christian Standard or something or other. So our Bible-believing churches in America are dying rapidly. Okay. Brother Ron Ralphs told us that several weeks ago. Over 40 churches a week in America are closing their doors. Now, granted, not all those are Baptists, but a good majority of them are. You know, and they say the average Baptist preacher stays in a church about 3 years, and he's gone. So the other night I heard when the kids were here for the Harvest Festival last night in October, I heard Brother Encinas say how much he thanked the Lord for this Bible-believing church. I'm telling you, once you've been in one, and Brother Jim and I were talking, once you've been in one, it's a religious club. You know, it makes you sick. You know, and America used to be known for, you know, sticking to this book. That's our problem. That's where why the churches are having a problem. Are they getting away from this book? Well, a couple of years ago, I was down in South Carolina, and I heard a preacher at a church, and they hold the King James Jubilee. And this preacher preached four messages on the little book of Philemon. So turn in your Bible to the book of Philemon, and I want you to see something. I like word studies. And this preacher preached on Philemon. You know, Philemon is one of the smallest books in the Bible. It's right after the book of Titus in the New Testament and right before Hebrews. And this preacher, when he preached, he said that most people accused him of being an Old Testament preacher. So he decided he was going to preach on the New Testament. But he preached the entire 4 days on the book of Philemon. Now, Philemon was a close personal friend of the Apostle Paul, and Philemon had a servant named Onesimus who, for whatever reason, left, okay, and Paul won him to the Lord. So I want us to read these short 25 verses in Philemon, and I want you to look at some of the words here. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, under Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Underline that word. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Christian fellows. Verse 2, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier. You can underline that one. And to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ in joining thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged. You might underline that one. Paul's getting up in years, and he knows he's getting ready to check out. And now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Paul has won him to the Lord, and he wants him to go back to Philemon. Verse 12, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Now, some folks say stead, I say steed. I'm from the south, so that's the way we'll pronounce it, okay? Verse 14, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved especially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner. There you can underline that one. In Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. You can underline that one. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now, if you'll hold your finger there and turn back to Proverbs chapter 30, I think you'll see what Paul has got on his mind right now. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 10, it says, accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee, and thou be found guilty. So Paul's got that in his mind when he sends Onesimus back to Philemon. Okay, he's a brother in Christ now. He wants him to go back so he can be a blessing to Philemon and be a good testimony to the people out in the world. So what's the first Christian fellow we're going to look at today? There in fellow prisoner. And I'm sure you're aware of what a prisoner is. Someone that's restricted in what they can do, what they can say, where they can go, what they eat, who they associate with. Paul says he is a fellow prisoner. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, Paul said he was constrained by the love of Christ. That word there, constrained, is where we get our English, our modern-day word, straitjacket. Okay, he's constrained, okay, by the love of Christ. He says, I am a prisoner, a fellow prisoner. The Lord Jesus told the Simon, the Pharisee, he said, when the lady came in and broke the alabaster box and poured it, okay, of much who loves much, who much is forgiven, loves much, okay. Paul says, I'm constrained by the love of Christ as a fellow prisoner, okay, to work for the Lord. Romans chapter 16 and verse 7 is the place this is first used. Romans 16, verse 7. If I can finish this morning, I will. If not, we'll try to break it off. I'm not sure what time I'm supposed to finish. And just give me the high sign, you know. Just give me the high sign. Romans 16 and verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who were of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. These are Paul's elders. They were saved before he was. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. And I'm probably not going to do a lot of justice to this. I'm just going to put the skeleton out there and you can hang the meat on the bone. This is probably a lot more in depth than what I can make it. I'm just a poor old country boy. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. Aristarchus, there's his name again. My fellow prisoner saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. You know who Barnabas was? Paul's companion, And then in Philemon 23, you're holding your finger there, of course. Philemon, verse 23. List those names. There, salute the Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. The Bible says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Now, if you're not aware, in Rome, when you were a prisoner of Rome, you were treated worse than what some of the old American chain gangs treated you. You weren't given a lot of privileges, okay? And Onesiphorus went to Rome and is trying to find Paul. He wants to be a blessing to him. When the Romans had a man in prison, if you were his friend or acquaintance or you associated with him, they treated you just like they treated him. That's why Paul says here, he was not ashamed of my chain. He was not ashamed to put up with all of the treatment that the Romans gave him. He sought me out diligently. He was a real friend. Amen? Oh, me. Okay? Look up here. Everybody okay? Some of you are looking at me like you've been baptized in vinegar, you know? Okay. The next one. The next fellow we're going to look at. Fellow helper, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You see, sometimes they in the Bibles, they'll put the Roman numeral in front of 2 Corinthians, 2 Thessalonians. Okay, I'm not raised in Rome, okay? So that's why I write like this. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse 23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. By definition, a helper is a person who has much responsibility and desire to please the Lord. Okay, he said Titus was his fellow helper. Okay, who are you helping? You know, in the churches, we're either an asset or a liability. We're either helping somebody or somebody's having to help us. Okay? I see too many Baptists that walk around, you know, oh, woe is me. It's easy to get into a pity party, isn't it? I don't think Titus got into a pity party. Titus was one of Paul's sons in the faith, like Timothy, and was a fellow helper in the ministry. 3 John chapter 1, the book of 3 John, another little book in the New Testament. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. 3 John, look at verse 8. We start at verse 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Or are we a fellow helper to the truth? I think that's what the Lord Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What did Pilate say to the Lord? What is truth? Fellow helper. The next one. Fellow citizen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. When this pastor was preaching on Philemon, he mentioned these terms, fellow citizen, fellow laborer, fellow helper, fellow prisoner. I got to look into that, and I said, you know, Paul gave these folks a title based on the job they were doing to glorify the Lord Jesus and to help him, and I thought, this is pretty good. How is the Lord characterize us? What does he say about us? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Paul says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." That word stranger is mentioned in the New Old Testament in Exodus. Okay, a stranger that was somebody that was not a part of the nation of Israel. And a foreigner was even worse than that. Now, you know what the Jews call us? Goyim, which means dogs. Okay, Paul says, this is not you anymore. You're not a stranger or a foreigner, but a fellow citizen with the saints. You should see the look on some of the folks in Mongolia on their faces when I tell them that Tonga is not Mongolian. They say, what? I said, no, her citizenship is in heaven. Okay, I'm not an American. My citizenship is in heaven. That's what the Bible said. So I got to look at some of these hyphenated American. You know, we didn't have that, 50 years ago, David, brother? There was no such thing. I never heard people calling, English Americans, Irish Americans, I'm an American, my friend over in is a Mexican over in Southern California, and he hates these illegal border jumpers worse than the average, middle-class working American. I said, why? He said, they've done it right. They've got in line, they've filled out the forms, they've come to America, they've learned English, and they have assimilated. They've become an American. They're not trying to drag their culture that didn't work there. They're not trying to drag that to America. Okay. Several years ago, we were watching TV, believe it or not, in Mongolia, and President Putin got on TV, and this was after Obama did his apology tour around the world, and President Putin got on TV and said, if you come to Russia, you're going to become a Russian. You're going to speak Russian. You're going to eat like a Russian. You're going to dress like a Russian. You're not bringing that Sharia stuff here. And oh, by the way, we're a Christian nation. Now, I'll take that over what Obama said any day of the week. Okay, now he's talking about, the Orthodox religion, but I'll take that over Obama all day long. Okay, Mongolia still looks at America as a Christian nation. They haven't been propagandized the way a lot of the rest of the world has. They don't have, they don't pay attention to BBC and the Clinton News Network and all the rest of that rot that's going on. Okay, now, and while I'm going through this, you want to make any comments or ask questions, go right ahead. You don't have to wait till the end. The next one. Fellow heirs. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6. You're right there. And while you're there, pick up Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6. An heir is a person who legally succeeds to the place of the deceased and assumes rights, responsibilities, and obligations. So we have an obligation now that the Lord Jesus has been crucified and rose again. We have an obligation to be a testimony, to be a witness. Like he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Ephesians 3 and verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. What's his promise? Eternal life and the indwelling Holy Spirit, okay, to be a fellow heir. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Acts chapter 5 and verse 32, it mentions that. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Okay, fellow heirs. This is what got Peter in trouble with the Sanhedrin. Okay? And it also got Stephen stoned. Okay? He's telling the Sanhedrin, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. Okay, they thought they were the only ones that were supposed to get that. But Paul says in Ephesians that you are a fellow heir. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17 has an interesting comment. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I believe those 3 years that Paul spent out in the Saudi Arabian desert, I think that's where the Lord showed him all the things he was going to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. And we are an heir. We're going to do some suffering. Doesn't the Bible say all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution? What kind of persecution are you suffering? It hadn't really hit us in America yet, but it's coming. It's coming. I think I mentioned this earlier. If things continue the way they are for the next 5 years, there's going to be more real Christians in China than there are in America. They're living their faith. They're tearing down their churches. They're tearing down their church buildings. They're tearing down their houses. They're putting them in work camps. They're executing them and everything else. Okay. Brother Dave, I don't think their preacher has to beg them to come to church and read their Bible and pray. The way we do in America, that's a shame. Somebody raise their hand. Okay. All right. The next one. Fellow soldier. Philippians chapter 4. No, wait a minute. Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. If you'll turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. First Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Philemon 2 mentions, again, a fellow soldier. A soldier is a person who is contending for the faith. Okay. Didn't Jude, look over in the book of Jude and see what Jude said about the common faith. Jude, one chapter, verse 3, he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's what a soldier does. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, look there again. Paul says he's my brother and companion in labor. That's work. The next one. Fellow laborer. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellows laborers whose names are in the book of life. Okay. A laborer is a person who has strength, skill, and is trained to do a particular job. That's what the pastor is doing for the congregation. He's training us to be laborers. This younger generation that's coming up now, Brother Encinas, I have to tell them that manual labor is not the president of Mexico. Okay? Amen? Labor, that's work. In Acts, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Okay, it's a work. I used to hear preachers all the time say, "Hey, I'm going to a certain town to start a work." I didn't understand what that was until I got into ministry. And I understood it's a work, it's a labor. Okay, but it's supposed to be a labor of love. You heard that term before? A labor of love. You do it, like Paul says, because I'm constrained by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellow laborer. And this term is again mentioned in Philemon, verse 1 and verse 24. He says, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer." And then again in verse 24, it says, "Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers." I've heard that it's been said, and some of you scholars can correct me if I'm wrong, that Luke was the only non-Hebrew that wrote in the Bible. I don't know if that's true or not. So the rest of the folks were Jewish. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2. I put that up there. Timotheus, that's Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. There's an interesting study that we did in Mongolia when the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter twice in the book of John. And Tonga was asking me, he says, what does that mean? Because it's not listed like that in the Mongolian Bible. And I said, a comfort, something that comes along and helps. You know, when we're saved, we get the Holy Spirit and he comforts us. Okay, but he says here that Timothy was there to establish you. Okay, we should be grounded in the faith, and that's what Timothy was supposed to help them do. A fellow laborer. That's what the folks in the church are doing, not only for the pastor and the deacons, but the entire congregation. The older saints should be teaching the younger saints. That makes sense? You know, when turn over to the book of Acts, I'll let you see something right quick. Pastor mentioned this earlier about Apollos. Acts chapter 17. Is it 17? Apollos? 18? Okay. Look at verse 24. It says, "A certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures." You know, this guy's not even saved yet. How would you like it if the Lord wrote your name down in the book and said he was mighty in the Scriptures? "Came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue." What's the synagogue? Back then, that's where the enemy hung out. That's the people that hated Christians. Apollos is in there. He goes right in there. "Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." Dad used to say they told him the facts of life. They told him the truth. Verse 27, "When he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace." He was a real fellow laborer. He helped them. He instructed them. He knew the Scriptures. Okay. "For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that in church at prayer meeting." No, publicly. Publicly. Okay. "Showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ." He was a fellow laborer. Okay, the next one. Can I erase this? I've got a copy of this on the paper if you want to make a copy of it. I need some more room here. That snow didn't keep some people at home, did it? Tell them in Southern California, that's all it takes is one drop of rain and the Baptist will stay at home. The next one. Fellow servant. Colossians chapter 1, and you can pick up Colossians chapter 4 as well. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 7. As I understand it, Brother Dave, Colossians is the book for a person in the ministry. One of them. Colossians chapter 1, verse 7 says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. That's what we're called to be, is faithful. Chapter 4 and verse 7 of Colossians. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. A servant is somebody that is employed in service to another. Romans chapter 6 and verse 22, look what Paul says. Keep your finger here in Colossians, Romans chapter 6 and verse 22. Paul tells the church in Rome, he said, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Okay, a servant. Both of those references in Colossians talk about being a faithful fellow servant. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 6, verse 11. We start at verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Fellow servant. Look at chapter 19 and verse 10 of Revelation. Chapter 19, verse 10. Apostle John says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Mark chapter 13, verse 34. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Fellow servant, employed in the service of another. Here's the next one. Fellow worker, Colossians chapter 4, verse 11. Colossians chapter 4, verse 11. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, that's the Jews, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Fellow worker. A worker is a person that's engaged in a specific field or a cause. Look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. We alluded to this earlier. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." A fellow worker. Amen. Those are just a few. And like I say, I've got this written down. I'll give you that and some of the references if you'd like them. Anybody got any questions? Anything you'd like to say? Yes, sir. South, they say. In the South, they say, "Fella," you know, "fellow." Okay, and we're here this morning having fellowship. Okay, so I could put another one of those up there. Okay, that's good. Yep. 1 John 1 and verse 3: "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." That's good. That's good. Any other questions, comments? You don't want to throw anything at me? Go ahead. I'm sorry? I know. All right. Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, they panic down there. They panic in the South. That's the way the people in California do when it rains. They panic. They still think they can drive down a freeway doing 80 miles an hour in the rain. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Yep. God told me, he said, Jesus was a Southern Baptist. He said he was from the southern tribe of Judah and he was baptized in the Jordan River. Yeah. Yeah. Telling you. Anybody else? Any other questions? Christian fellows. Yeah. All right. I think we got a few minutes. You could probably get a cup of coffee. Yeah. If you imbibe in that. If you want a copy of this, I'll give you a copy of this.